Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something very specific. A pirate signal style 808 tail in Ableton Live 12, designed for jungle and darker drum and bass. Not just a bass sound, but a low-end event you can drop into intros, breakdowns, fakeouts, and pre-drop moments so it feels like a signal has been hijacked mid-transmission. The big idea here is simple. We are not trying to design a perfect 808 and leave it alone. We're going to build a basic source, print it to audio, and then treat the resampled result like a DJ tool. That means trimming it, reversing it, filtering it, damaging it a little, and making it work in the arrangement rather than just in solo. That's the key mindset shift. Start with a fresh MIDI track and load a simple source, either operator or wavitable. Keep it basic. A sine or something close to a sine is exactly what we want. The magic is not in the oscillator. The magic happens after we start resampling. Set the amp envelope with a very fast attack, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Then give it a decay and release somewhere in the range of 300 milliseconds to around 1.2 seconds, depending on how long you want the tail to ring. Keep sustain low or off entirely. If you want that classic 808 snap, add a quick pitch drop, maybe 12 to 24 semitones over 20 to 60 milliseconds. That little glide gives the note attack and attitude. Why this works in D&B is because we need bass material that behaves like a phrase, not just a constant synth line. Drum and bass is all about tension, release, and the space between the drums. A simple source gives us control, and resampling lets us print movement into audio so we can shape it later like a proper arrangement tool. If you want a darker flavor right away, put saturator after the synth and add just a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, with soft clip on. If you want the result to stay cleaner and more club focused, leave the source almost pure and save the character for later in the resampling chain. That's your first decision point. Clean tail or dirtier tail. Both work, but they serve different roles. Now program the note as a phrase, not as a long-held drone. In D&B, placement matters more than note count. One well-placed tail can feel more musical than a busy line. Try putting a hit on beat 4 leading into a snare. Or use a pickup on the end of 4 before the drop. Or make a simple two-note answer over two bars, with a short note followed by a longer tail. You can even use a half-bar tail under a break chop to fill negative space. Keep the MIDI note shorter than the audible tail if you want the envelope to do the work. If the note is too long, the sound can get muddy before we even reach the audio stage. And when you're listening, pay attention to this. Does the note feel like a phrase ender? Does it leave room for the kick and snare? If the groove suddenly feels late, shorten the decay or move the note a tiny bit earlier. Sometimes just 5 to 15 milliseconds makes a surprising difference. Before we resample, give the synth a bit of personality with stock devices. A good starting chain is EQ8, saturator, drum bus or redux depending on the flavor, and maybe auto filter if you want motion before printing. Use EQ8 to gently high pass around 20 to 30 Hz so you're not dragging unnecessary rumble into the chain. Then use saturator with a moderate drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB, and trim the output so you're not clipping the next device. Drum bus can add a bit of bite, but keep it subtle. If you want movement, let auto filter open and close the tone over time, somewhere between around 180 Hz and 1.5 kHz. What to listen for here is really important. You want the tail to gain texture without losing the sub's focus. If the low end starts turning to fuzz, back off the drive or carve out some low mid buildup around 120 to 250 Hz. The goal is not to make it huge in solo. The goal is to make it read in context with the break. Now comes the move that makes the whole technique work. Resample it immediately. Create an audio track and record the processed MIDI track into auto. Don't sit there polishing the synth forever. Print it. This is where the sound becomes a real tool. Once it's in audio, you can trim it, reverse the end of it, chop the best section, or make a version that lands exactly where you need it in the bar. Record a few takes if you can. Print one cleaner version, one dirtier version, and one longer version. If the levels are healthy, you're in a good place. A peak somewhere around minus 12 to minus 60 BFS is more than enough. Don't chase level forever. Headroom is your friend here. Once it's printed, edit the audio like a DJ tool. Trim the start so the transient lands cleanly. Add a fade at the end if you need to avoid clicks. Then shape the decay so it feels intentional. You can shorten it to a quarter bar or half bar if you want something tight and functional. You can extend it so it overlaps into the next snare if you want more dramatic call and response. You can reverse the last 100 to 300 milliseconds for a pull-in effect before the drop. Even a tiny fade on the final 20 to 50 milliseconds can clean up a messy release. This is where the pirate's signal idea really comes alive. It should feel like the sound has been captured, cut, and rebroadcast. Slightly rough is good. In jungle and darker DNB, that edited, repurposed feel often sounds more authentic than a perfectly smooth synth release. Now treat the resample as a track-ready object and give it a second processing chain. There are two strong directions here. One direction is weight and pressure. Use AQ8 to clean up mud around 180 to 350 Hz if needed. Use Saturator lightly, maybe 1 to 4 dB, and keep utility in mono or narrow width so the sub stays disciplined. The other direction is grit and pirate radio edge. Try Redux with mild settings for a slightly chipped broadcast character. Add auto filter for movement, maybe with a slow sweep. If you use echo, keep it very subtle. We want a useful DJ tool, not a wash of ambience. A useful reminder here. The first chain creates the bass event, but the second chain turns it into something you can actually place in the arrangement with a purpose. Now check it against drums and bass. Put the tail into a real loop with kick, snare, break, and your main bass. This is where it earns its place. Ask yourself, does the tail leave room for the snare crack? Does it fight the kick around 50 to 90 Hz? Does it flatten the groove or does it sit inside it? If the kick disappears, try nudging the tail a little earlier or later. Or use utility to narrow it, or cut a small band in the kick's main body area, usually somewhere around 60 to 120 Hz depending on the kit. If it feels late against the break, shorten the decay or trim the audio so the useful body arrives sooner. What to listen for now is the lock. The tail should lock into the backbeat, not drag behind it. It should feel like part of the tune, not a bass sound demo sitting on top of the drums. At this point, build variations. This is one of the smartest things you can do in Ableton. Make at least three versions, a short hit for fills and bar turns, a medium tail for pre-drop tension, and a longer or more damaged version for breakdowns or second drop variation. Name them clearly. Tail clean, tail dirty, tail short, tail reverse, tail second drop. That kind of naming saves time later and keeps the arrangement moving. For example, in the intro you might use short filtered fragments every 4 or 8 bars. Then the medium tail can answer a break. Then the pre-drop bar gets the longer reverse lift version. For the second drop, reuse the same tail, but make it dirtier or shorten the decay so the tune evolves without needing a completely new idea. This is one of those little pro moves that really matters. Treat the second drop like a different broadcast. Same signal, different transmission. Before you finish, do a mono check. This matters a lot in drum and bass because low-end phase issues show up fast in clubs. Collapse the tail to mono with utility and make sure the core still holds. If the sound falls apart, too much of the identity is living in stereo. Keep the sub centered and only let the upper harmonics get width if you need it. If the tail feels too polite, don't just keep adding distortion. Often the better move is to remove unnecessary low-mid bloom first, then add a little saturation back in. Heavier DNB usually sounds more powerful when it's slightly stripped rather than overstuffed. Another useful trick is to duplicate the source and split the function. Keep one copy clean and mono for low-end authority and let the printed version carry the dirt and character. Blend the dirty copy lower than you think. That often sounds better than forcing one channel to do everything. And remember, the real test is not whether the sound is impressive in solo. The real test is whether it can sit under a break, answer a snare fill, and still leave the drop feeling bigger when it disappears. That's the difference between a sound design exercise and a usable arrangement object. So here's the recap. Build the tail from a simple sine-based source. Keep the envelope tight and deliberate. Add just enough processing before resampling to give it character. Print it early. Edit the audio like a DJ tool. Shape a clean version, a dirty version, and a short version. Keep the sub mono. Check it against the drums. Then use it as a phrase marker, not just a bass hit. If it feels like a pirate radio low-end signal that lands cleanly in the mix, you've nailed it. Now take the mini exercise and do it fast. 15 minutes. Dock Ableton devices only. Make three versions. Clean, dirty, and short. Fit them into a two-bar loop with kick, snare, and break. Keep the main sub mono. Then ask yourself if the groove still works when the tail is muted, and whether it still survives in mono. If you can answer yes, you don't just have a bass sound. You've got a real DJ tool for drum and bass arrangement. Go make it happen.